The Sheehan Ganon and the Gruagach Gaer, a Celtic fairy tale. The Sheehan Ganon was born in the morning, named at noon, and went in the evening to ask his daughter of the king of Erin. "I will give you my daughter in marriage," said the king of Erin. "You won't get her, though, unless you go and bring me back the tidings that I want, and tell me what it is that put a stop to the laughing of the Gruagach Gaer, who before this laughed always, and laughed so loud that the whole world heard him. There are 12 iron spikes out here in the garden behind my castle. On 11 of the spikes are the heads of kings' sons who came seeking my daughter in marriage, and all of them went away to get the knowledge I wanted. Not one was able to get it and tell me what stopped the Gruagach Gaer from laughing. I took the heads off them all when they came back without the tidings for which they went, and I'm greatly in dread that your head'll be on the 12th spike, for I'll do the same to you that I did to the 11 kings' sons, unless you tell me what put a stop to the laughing of the Gruagach." The Sheehan Ganon made no answer, but left the king and pushed away to know could he find why the Gruagach was silent. He took a glen at a step, a hill at a leap, and traveled all day till evening. Then he came to a house. The master of the house asked him what sort he was, and he said, "A young man looking for hire." "Well," said the master of the house, "I was going tomorrow to look for a man to mind my cows. If you'll work for me, you'll have a good place, the best food a man could have to eat in this world, and a soft bed to lie on." The Sheehan Ganon took service and ate his supper. Then the master of the house said, "I am the Gruagach Gaer. Now that you are my man and have eaten your supper, you'll have a bed of silk to sleep on." Next morning after breakfast, the Gruagach said to the Sheehan Ganon, "Go out now and loosen my 5 golden cows and my bull without horns and drive them to pasture. But when you have them out on the grass, be careful you don't let them go near the land of the giant." The new cowboy drove the cattle to pasture, and when near the land of the giant, he saw it was covered with woods and surrounded by a high wall. He went up, put his back against the wall, and threw in a great stretch of it, and then went inside and threw out another great stretch of the wall, and put the 5 golden cows and the bull without horns on the land of the giant. Then he climbed a tree, ate the sweet apples himself, and threw the sour ones down to the cattle of the Gruagach Gaer. Soon a great crashing was heard in the woods, the noise of young trees bending and old trees breaking. The cowboy looked around and saw a 5-headed giant pushing through the trees, and soon he was before him. "Poor, miserable creature," said the giant, "but weren't you impudent to come to my land and trouble me in this way? You're too big for one bite and too small for two. I don't know what to do but tear you to pieces." "You nasty brute," said the cowboy, coming down to him from the tree, "'tis little I care for you." And then they went at each other. So great was the noise between them that there was nothing in the world but was looking on and listening to the combat. They fought till late in the afternoon, when the giant was getting the upper hand, and then the cowboy thought that if the giant should kill him, his father and mother would never find him or set eyes on him again, and he would never get the daughter of the king of Erin. The heart in his body grew strong at this thought. He sprang on the giant and with the first squeeze and thrust put him to his knees in the hard ground, with a second thrust to his waist and with the third to his shoulders. "I have you at last. You're done for now," said the cowboy. Then he took out his knife, cut the 5 heads off the giant, and when he had them off, he cut out the tongues and threw the heads over the wall. Then he put the tongues in his pocket and drove home the cattle. That evening the Gruagach couldn't find vessels enough in all his place to hold the milk of the 5 golden cows. But when the cowboy was on his way home with the cattle, the son of the king of Tishon came and took the giant's heads and claimed the princess in marriage when the Gruagach Gaer should laugh. After supper, the cowboy would give no talk to his master, but kept his mind to himself and went to the bed of silk to sleep. On the morning, the cowboy rose before his master, and the first word he said to the Gruagach were, "What keeps you from laughing, you who used to laugh so loud that the whole world heard you?" "I'm sorry," said the Gruagach, "that the daughter of the king of Erin sent you here." "If you don't tell me of your own will, I'll make you tell me," said the cowboy, and he put a face on himself that was terrible to look at, and running through the house like a madman, could find nothing that would give pain enough to the Gruagach but some ropes made of untanned sheepskin hanging on the wall. He took these down, caught the Gruagach, fastened him by the 3 smalls, and tied him so that his little toes were whispering to his ears. When he was in this state, the Gruagach said, "I'll tell you what stopped my laughing if you set me free." So the cowboy unbound him, the 2 sat down together, and the Gruagach said, "I lived in this castle here with my 12 sons. We ate, drank, playing cards, and enjoyed ourselves, till one day when my sons and I were playing, a slender brown hare came rushing in, jumped onto the hearth, tossed up the ashes to the rafters, and ran away. On another day he came again, but if he did, we were ready for him, my 12 sons and myself. As soon as he tossed up the ashes and ran off, we made after him and followed him till nightfall. When he went into a glen, we saw a light before us. I ran on and came to a house with a great apartment, where there was a man named Yellowface with 12 daughters, and the hare was tied to the side of the room near the women. There was a large pot over the fire in the room and a great stork boiling in the pot. The man of the house said to me, 'There are bundles of rushes at the end of the room. Go there and sit down with your men.' He went into the next room and brought out 2 pikes, one of wood, the other of iron, and asked me which of the pikes would I take. I said, 'I'll take the iron one,' for I thought in my heart that if an attack should come on me, I could defend myself better with the iron than with the wooden pike. Yellowface gave me the iron pike, and the first chance of taking what I could out of the pot on the point of the pike. I got but a small piece of the stork, and the man of the house took all the rest on his wooden pike. We had to fast that night, and when the man and his 12 daughters ate the flesh of the stork, they hurled the bare bones in the faces of my sons and myself. We had to stop all night that way, beaten on the faces by the bones of the stork. Next morning, when we were going away, the man of the house asked me to stay a while, and going into the next room, he brought out 12 loops of iron and 1 of wood, and said to me, 'Put the heads of your 12 sons into the iron loops, or your own head into the wooden one.' And I said, 'I'll put the 12 heads of my sons in the iron loops and keep my own out of the wooden one.' He put the iron loops on the necks of my 12 sons and put the wooden one on his own neck. Then he snapped the loops one after another till he took the heads off my 12 sons and threw the heads and bodies out of the house. But he did nothing to hurt his own neck. When he had killed my sons and took hold of me and stripped the skin and flesh from the small of my back down, and when he had done that, he took the skin of a black sheep that had been hanging on the wall for 7 years and clapped it on my body in place of my own flesh and skin, and the sheep's skin grew on me. And every year since then I shear myself, and every bit of wool I use for the stockings that I wear, I clip off my own back." When he had said this, the Grubach showed the cowboy his back covered with thick black wool. After what he had seen and heard, the cowboy said, "I know now why you don't laugh, and small blame to you. But does that hare come here still?" "He does indeed," said the Grubach. Both went to the table to play, and they were not long playing cards when the hare ran in, and before they could stop him, he was out again. But the cowboy made after the hare, and the Grubach after the cowboy, and they ran as fast as ever their legs could carry them until nightfall. And when the hare was entering the castle, where the 12 sons of the Grubach were killed, the cowboy caught him by the hind legs and dashed out his brains against the wall, and the skull of the hare was knocked into the chief room of the castle and fell at the feet of the master of the place. "Who has dared to interfere with my fighting pet?" screamed the yellow face. "I," said the cowboy, "and if your pet had manners, he might be alive now." The cowboy and the Grubach stood by the fire. A stork was boiling in the pot, as when the Grubach came the first time. The master of the house went into the next room and brought out an iron and a wooden pike, and asked the cowboy which would he choose. "I'll take the wooden one," said the cowboy, "and you may keep the iron one for yourself." So he took the wooden one, and going to the pot, brought out on the pike all the stork except a small bite. And he and the Grubach fell to eating, and they were eating all the flesh of the stork all night. The cowboy and the Grubach were at home in the place that time. In the morning, the master of the house went into the next room, took out 12 iron loops with a wooden one, brought them out and asked the cowboy which he would take, the 12 iron or the one wooden loop. "What could I do with the 12 iron ones for myself or my master? I'll take the wooden one." He put it on, and taking the 12 iron loops, put them on the necks of the 12 daughters of the house, then snapped the 12 heads off them, and turning to their father said, "I'll do the same thing to you unless you bring the 12 sons of my master to life and make them as well and strong as when you took their heads." The master of the house went out and brought the 12 to life again. And when the Grubach saw all his sons alive and as well as ever, he let a laugh out of himself, and all the eastern world heard the laugh. Then the cowboy said to the Grubach, "It's a bad thing you've done to me. For the daughter of the king of Erin will be married the day after your laugh is heard." "Oh, then we must be there in time," said the Grubach. And they all made away from the place as fast as ever they could, the cowboy, the Grubach, and his 12 sons. They hurried on, and when within 3 miles of the king's castle, there was such a throng of people that no one could go a step ahead. "We must clear a road through this," said the cowboy. "We must indeed," said the Grubach, and at it they went, through the people, some on one side, some on the other, and soon they had an opening for themselves to the king's castle. As they went in, the daughter of the king of Erin and the son of the king of Tishon were on their knees just going to be married. The cowboy drew his hand on the bridegroom and gave a blow that sent him spinning till he stopped under a table at the other side of the room. "What scoundrel struck that blow?" asked the king of Erin. "It was I," said the cowboy. "What reason had you to strike the man who won my daughter?" "It was I who won your daughter, not he. And if you don't believe me, the Grubach Gair is here himself. He'll tell you the whole story from beginning to end and show you the tongues of the giant." So the Grubach came up and told the king the whole story, how the Shianganan had become his cowboy, had guarded the 5 golden cows and the bull without horns, cut off the heads of the 5-headed giant, killed the wizard hare, and brought his own 12 sons to life. "And then," said the Grubach, "he's the only man in the whole world I've ever told why I stopped laughing, and the only one who has ever seen my fleece of wool. When the king of Erin heard what the Gruagach said and saw the tongues of the giant fitted in the head, he made the Shiangana kneel down by his daughter, and they were married on the spot. Then the son of the king of Tishon was thrown into prison, and the next day they put down a great fire, and the deceiver was burned to ashes. The wedding lasted 9 days, and the last day was better than the first.